And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, Sirius XM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
For the better part of the next 2 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The guests will join me over the next couple of hours here. Guests will join me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Listener line, is, as always, is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You know the phone number, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. To get involved in the conversation, we will have a lot to discuss. My guy Tyler Farengol on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening here. And as we work late into the evening, I'm confident that by now, a couple of days later, you have watched Hard Knocks, the premiere episode of The Bears on Hard Knocks. We'll discuss that throughout the show. You may be aware, I'm confident you are at this point, that the White Sox have moved on from manager Pedro Grifol. Been a long time coming. Everyone was waiting, anticipating. It finally happened. 89-190 was the record for Pedro Grifol in his career as a manager this particular season, 28-89 leading the White Sox. So it was bound to happen. And I mean, you know, no big mystery that it was going to take place. Just the question really was more when, not if. So we have that answer. It has finally and officially happened. He no longer leads the White Sox. So all's good, right? Nah, that's obviously not the case. We'll get into some White Sox conversation throughout the show as well. We do know at this point that the Bears, that Matt Eberflus will be playing the starters in the preseason game this weekend as the Bears prepare to face the Buffalo Bills. So you'll get what you want. You will get Caleb Williams on the field in a preseason game, making his Bears debut. Looking forward to that. I like to have pregame coverage over on Fox 32 with Cassie Carlson and Lou Kanellis. So we'll be over there for a half hour before the game leading into the festivities. And the Buffalo Bills, they're going to play their starters for a whole quarter, according to Sean McDermott. We didn't get a specific or exact number from Matt Eberflus about how long the Bears starters would play. But we do know that the available starters, the healthy starters, they're going to be out there in the preseason, making their preseason debut. Yes, the Bears faced the Houston Texans in the Hall of Fame game last week, but the starters didn't play in that game. So with three preseason games to go, we will see Caleb Williams. We will see Roma Dunze. We will see a bunch of the guys who you've been waiting to see in Bears jerseys. I'm actually fresh off the road from Indianapolis as I was at Colts camp yesterday. I was covering the Colts training camp for Sirius XM NFL radio. So one of the tour stops out of the 32 different tour stops that they end up making, I got to go to Indianapolis. I was with James White, former Patriots running back, former Wisconsin running back as well. One of my partners from the Big Ten Network also, but Sirius XM NFL Radio sent us to Indy. And I got to say, just having sort of that, in some ways, the juxtaposition of the Colts' young, gifted, promising quarterback with a roster that feels like a roster and a general manager. And I got to talk to Chris Ballard. And by the way, I meant to text Mully and Hall, because I know Ballard still comes on their show on occasion. I was kind of having a good time talking about Mully and Hall with Chris Ballard before we actually conducted the official interview that aired on Sirius XM. So Mully, Hall, if you're listening, Chris Ballard says, hey, loves you guys, all those good things. But in being the general manager of the Colts, he had what I found to be a really interesting offseason, because the Colts are in a division There's a lot of parallels between the two ball clubs because the Colts are in a division that feels more formidable this year, going into this season, than was anticipated a year ago at this time. A lot of people didn't really know what to expect out of the AFC South this time last year, but the anticipation was that, all right, this division is kind of up for grabs, really. You know, nobody really knew what to make of much of it, aside from the fact that Trevor Lawrence was sort of, you know, viewed as this emerging talent, and there was a lot of other unknown young commodities at quarterback, but Jacksonville was coming off of a playoff berth and a playoff victory, and so they seemed to be the team in line to just sort of take over the AFC South. And then, you know, they faltered, and Lawrence is injured and playing banged up throughout the year. Now, Trevor Lawrence has gotten his money, but of course, the rookie quarterback who now a year later, we look back at what C.J. Stroud did as now the standard bearer for a rookie season in the National Football League. And that was one of the things that I asked the Indianapolis Colts quarterback, Anthony Richardson, who only played in four games last season, didn't start that many games in college at Florida. So an extremely inexperienced talent at QB, but just this immense physical specimen at 6'4", about 250, just, you know, this rocked up frame and, you know, just a huge arm that can hit every blade of grass on the field. And, you know, despite what was sort of pedestrian production in college, ends up being a top five draft pick because of those physical capabilities, the talent that's there. And now, after rookie season that was cut very short because of a shoulder injury, and the production in those first few games with Shane Steichen as his head coach and play caller, we saw a glimpse of that. 7 total touchdowns, just 1 interception. But there's a lot of excitement around Colts camp, and the decision Chris Ballard made was essentially, aside from his draft class, he kind of stood pat with his roster. A defense that struggled statistically last year, an offense that performed well but no longer has Gardner Minshew. Now they've got their top five draft pick at QB, who they're hoping will be healthy this season, and you'll have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, that combination that's there. I see a lot of parallels between where the two teams are. The juxtaposition, though, that I was struck by was as much as the Colts and Colts fans, and frankly the NFL at large, are very excited about Anthony Richardson, there doesn't seem to be the weight on Anthony Richardson, on his shoulders, the harsh glare of expectation that's there for Caleb Williams and the Bears. And the storyline the Bears have been throughout this offseason, the storyline that you began watching play out back before the draft, that now the rest of the country has started to watch play out on Hard Knocks and in the Hall of Fame game, and folks who will watch the preseason game that'll be simulcast on NFL Network. And, you know, there's a lot of folks around America who love talking about the Bears. And this is part of what I was talking about the other night as well, where the way the Bears are covered is in some ways indicative of how you are as Bears fans, how Bears fandom kind of operates, because there is so much steam and so much sort of fanatical energy around the team, especially in a hopeful time like right now. And so the rest of the country feeds off of that because it's Chicago and because the franchise is so historic and because they have now, for the third consecutive time, in a very small span of time, continue to take these bites at the quarterback apple. And now, after going from Mitchell Trubisky, who everybody was kind of like, man, what are they doing? Ryan Pace, what's going on here? Then they get Justin Fields, and there's far more excitement about Fields, even though he's drafted further down the draft board. But a lot of folks are thinking like, all right, this is the dude, myself included, thinking, all right, this is the guy they can get it right with. And then still don't get it right with Fields. And now you have the third consecutive first round quarterback, and the guy who is dubbed as the prospect in the entire country, it feels like, is watching the Bears and waiting to see what they're going to do. And there just wasn't that vibe in Indy. Again, there were fans out there at training camp. It's an NFL team. It's been one of the more successful franchises this century. But to see and to feel the energy that was there, that existed at Colts training camp, it was striking to feel that in person, just how it pales in comparison to the scrutiny that's on Caleb Williams, that's on Matt Eberflus, that's on the Chicago Bears. And, you know, the Colts aren't in some position where they're guaranteed anything. Their division is a lot more difficult at this point than folks thought it was going to be a year from now. Does that kind of sound like the division the Bears are in right now? Does that kind of sound like the NFC North, where a year ago we're kind of looking at this division thinking, eh, it could be up for grabs. Anybody might have access to this. You don't really know what's happening to quarterback with any of these franchises. You don't really know what the future holds with any of them. The AFC South, very similar to that. But now, a year later, C.J. Stroud, a made man, one of the top quarterbacks in football after that rookie season. Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville has gotten his money. You know he's going to be the Jags quarterback for years to come. Yeah, big question mark around Will Levis and what's going to happen with him and the Tennessee Titans, but a proud franchise who's done a good amount of winning. And the Colts were just a narrow margin in a late season defeat against the Houston Texans in the final game of the regular season, away from them making the playoffs with backup Gardner Minshew in at QB. So that's a deep division that they're in. There are expectations for Indianapolis this season, but there's not the same kind of steam. There's not the same kind of scrutiny. There's not the same kind of angst that's there around the Colts as what's felt around the Bears. And they've got guys banged up. They've got guys in and out of the lineup. They got some injuries during the preseason here. They're not even completely sure how, if Anthony Richardson is 100% healthy yet. But everybody's just kind of cool, and they're just doing their thing, preparing for the regular season. And I think probably the biggest and the pinnacle example of Bears angst is the discussion around Nate Davis. Because frankly, there's not a lot else. I mean, you know, the center position is something that concerns people. The lack of pass rush, not named Montez Sweat, is something that concerns people, and rightfully so. But the part that Bears fan, that Bears media, that Bears coverage is most angsty about is Nate Davis, is the right guard. And I mean, it's certainly worthy of concern. It's worthy of query. But frankly, it just sounds like, it reads like a lot of folks are really upset at Nate Davis for some reason. I really don't quite get it. Like, I don't know. He may not hit the field this year. He may not recover from whatever the soft tissue deal is that he's got going on. I don't know, but I know the conversation around Nate Davis, to me, seems like it's gotten kind of out of bounds a little bit, out of balance with the reality of the situation. They did bring in Ryan Bates. There is competition that's there. If Nate Davis is healthy, the Bears could at some point still believe Ryan Bates is the better option for them at right guard. Who knows? That may be what the future holds there. But when you look back to last season, and especially last preseason, there was a lot of angst about Nate Davis even back then. And then we eventually find out the guy had a death in the family, and that's why he's standing around at practice a lot. That's why he's having some side conversations with Matt Eberflus. That's why he's not participating through much of the preseason. And then he deals with multiple injuries throughout the year and eventually isn't able to finish the season. In this training camp, a lot of the offseason program, he apparently, mini camps, OTAs, in and out of the lineup so far this preseason, hasn't been out there participating very often. You as Bears fans, those of us in Bears media, haven't covered Nate Davis for very long yet. So you kind of just got last season as the resume of Nate Davis. And when he was on the field, he was inconsistent. You know, he had some nice moments, some nice games as a run blocker, had some games where he struggled in pass protection. Nate Davis isn't some perennial Pro Bowler guy, but he's been a dependable, a high-level, and above-average guard during his time with the Tennessee Titans, a predominantly run-based physical program that he came from. So he was expected to add an additional element of physicality to the Bears' offensive line. Last season, family member dies. To me, my impression was a whole lot of folks were acting like Nate Davis and talking like Nate Davis didn't want to participate. And then we find out the truth of the matter. Courtney Cronin eventually, you know, gets the scoop on that, reports on that. And then the position on Nate Davis softens a bit. Now, this preseason, we hear for the first time today some clarification from Matt Eberflus on, at least to some degree, what's been going on with Nate Davis and why he hasn't been in the lineup.
Yeah, he came back. We had him back in there, right? It was individual, and that was some reps, and then he felt it again, you know. So he's dealing with some soft tissue stuff, and so we had to bring him back down and take him out. So, again, we'll start that process over, and we'll see where it goes.
Matt Eberflus has been addressing Nate Davis and, you know, in some ways subtweeting him a little bit over the last couple of weeks when asked about Davis and starting roles and whether jobs are up for grabs and everything else. I think in some of the answers, you could view it as he's talking directly to Nate Davis. Part of it is about perspective. I believe he's also talking to Ryan Bates with some of that, too, to let it be known. It's just the reality of the situation. It doesn't, to me, if Matt Eberflus says, yeah, a guy can lose his job due to injury if someone else is playing well. That's just the nature of the game. Like that doesn't have to mean Matt Eberflus is upset at or frustrated with Nate Davis. Nate Davis has been playing football for years at this point, man. He's not some rookie in the league who needs his first opportunity to kind of prove whether or not he's tough or whether or not he loves football or not. He's played a bunch of games in the past. I have no reason to think Nate Davis doesn't want to play football anymore. Now, if he doesn't, I suppose he'll probably let the world know at some point he'll stop playing. As of right now, I don't know if he's got a hamstring pull. I don't know if he's got a groin issue or what. But he's got something that's kept him off the field. And fortunately, Ryan Poles has insulated the interior of the offensive line to an extent where you have what should be a more competent center-guard combination than was available to the Bears when the interior of their offensive line began getting banged up last season. But the O-line, in my opinion, has been thin the entire time. They should have insulated tackle more than they did. They could have even insulated the interior a little more than they did. Those are still opportunities that may be there throughout the preseason. I'll take a time out and come back. Let's get Patrick Finley on the line here because he's been there on the daily at Hallis, getting the vibe from Eberflus. I know he watched Hard Knocks. He made a little verbal debut in Hard Knocks as well. So there's a lot to talk to Patrick Finley about. And specifically, I want to get his thoughts on where things stand with Nate Davis heading into this first preseason game. The starters getting out there. We will discuss Bears, one of the best beat writers in the business. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just to clarify, that's Caleb and select starters? Or?
Yeah, Caleb and then the starters that are available to us. Yeah, in terms of not injured right now.
That could be multiple series.
Yeah, there's a range of plays. Range of plays, unless they have a monster drive of 65 plays, and maybe I'll pull them out. But
we're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Bears coach Matt Eberflus being asked about the playing time for the starters. No surprise, starters will play this week against the Buffalo Bills this Saturday. How much will they play? How many series will there be? How many total snaps? Still non-committal, non-specific about that. But I get it. It's kind of similar, frankly, to what happened last year as guys got banged up and we're wondering why, you know, how much of Justin Fields and other Bears starters we're going to see in the previous preseason. Anthony Herron here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Man who is there on a daily basis and can give us the scoop on this and that related to your Chicago Bears will join me right now on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that man is Patrick Finley, Bears beat reporter from the Chicago Sun-Times. You can find him on social at Patrick Finley. Pat, what's happening, man? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you? Were you in Indianapolis the other day?
I was. Yeah, I was in Indy the last couple of days. Was covering a Colts training camp. I was struck actually just by some of the parallels where, you know, the Colts have a young, physically gifted quarterback, and you know they're very hopeful about him. They're in a division in the AFC South that's deeper than folks probably thought it would be a year ago. But the scrutiny, the angst, the urgency that's there, you know, they want to win and they got some expectations, but there's no team under more of a glare of scrutiny and expectation in the league than the Bears. And being in Indianapolis the last couple of days, that stood out to me. Does that surprise you at all to hear that?
Well, it's funny you say it, because last year we went to Indianapolis for two joint practices, and I was going out of my way to notice all the comparisons between Justin Fields and Anthony Richardson. So Anthony Richardson then was the rookie quarterback trying to find his way, who had this unreal athleticism and I think some real questions about what he could be as a passer, and you know, certainly that fit the bill with Justin as well. So it goes to show that time marches on, but the Bears' problems stay the same. Thankfully, Caleb Williams, I think, is giving people a lot of reason to be excited. And, man, they haven't even seen him in a Bears helmet and a Bears jersey yet, and that's coming on Saturday.
That's right. Just wait till he takes that first snap from center. It's going to be an exciting time for everybody to kind of check that out. So we played the clip coming back. Tyler played it just with you guys over there kind of peppering Flus with questions about who would play and how they play and how many snaps would be involved and everything else. Does it feel similar to last season at all when we were here and the offensive line was more banged up last year leading into the starters preseason debut than it is even at this point? But there was some question about, like, all right, how much work is going to be there leading in? How would you compare and contrast the feeling at this point this season versus last year when there was a lot of folks banged up?
I think the feeling at this time is far more of excitement. And you're right, there are some similarities about the offensive line and about how much you want your quarterback to get hit in the preseason. Nate Davis was hurt last year and is hurt this year. Tevin Jenkins was hurt last year, and he is upright at this point. But no, I think you look at Caleb, and at least on, you know, the first game that he's going to play, the overwhelming feeling is, you know, let's see what he can do out there. They're going to be smart about what plays they call. They're going to be smart about how many snaps they give him or don't give him. But, you know, this is a glimpse at the future. And, you know, Justin last year, you know, was in a prove-it season. And even in the preseason, it was, you know, we knew that Justin needed to play better than he'd ever played before to lock himself in as the Bears quarterback of the future. You know, there was an urgency last year that I don't think quite exists here. I think even your most rabid Bears fan knows that this is the first step of many for Caleb, and probably not something to be too upset about if it doesn't go well, or anything to lose sleep over if a first-string Bills defense plays pretty well against them.
One of the things that hasn't been talked about too much, and it's been fun seeing the Bears on social media put a few clips out there with DeAndre Swift making some nice one-handed grabs. And, you know, he's been a player that's been on a couple of different teams at this point in his career, moving on from Detroit and having last season a career year with the Eagles. Bears gave him some real money to come and be their starting running back here. What have been your impressions of the backfield? We did see multiple other backs. We saw Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert in the Hall of Fame game. That might have partly just been because of injuries to some others in the backfield. But what have been your impressions of DeAndre Swift?
I think DeAndre Swift is a luxury. And I think the Bears had enough money this spring to be able to splurge. And he is a splurge because, you know, he's probably going to carry the ball maybe 60-65% of the time. That's what Shane Waldron offenses have shown us the last couple years in terms of, you know, how often they get the ball to their, you know, lead back. But he can do some things that the other guys in that room can't. And I know that he wants to be more of a pass catcher as well. If he can do that, you know, he could be the well-rounded running back that I think he's wanted to be his whole career. He's looked good in practice. Now, I'm curious about this. I'm curious about your opinion here. Boy, social media accounts pushing out videos of, you know, two or three flash plays in practice. As somebody who sits through every practice, let me tell you, that does not always give an accurate impression of what has happened that day. Not that any one play in practice means a whole heck of a lot in the big picture, but, man, you know, you see, you know, DJ Moore make a great catch, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got the fan base talking about what an awesome day G.J. Moore had. You know, you don't know that. You know, if you show Caleb making a great pass and you talk about what a great day Caleb had, you don't know that. Sometimes it's the rare highlight in a slow day. And I think the Bears offense has had more slow days in the last week or so than they want to. I think the defense has looked better. And we've talked to a couple of defensive players who are happy to point out that social media accounts don't usually post pictures of a defensive lineman tipping a ball at the line of scrimmage or somebody batting a pass or coaxing a false start out of an offensive line.
So to that end, where, you know, we've certainly seen you and others in Bears media sort of reminding folks and alerting people that, yes, the defense has certainly had the upper hand up to this point in training camp and during the preseason. There's an accumulation of talent that's here on the Bears offense, and DJ Moore just got his money, deservedly so. The young quarterback is very talented. How do you view that balance? What are the scales? Is it about the Bears defense that has a few starters out in its own right in preseason practice here? Is the Bears defense performing at a really high level, or is the Bears offense more so struggling?
Yes to both. I don't know whether that was an option I was given, but I'll take it. Yeah, the Bears defense, you know, I think I told you last time we talked, I'd be concerned if the offense was ahead of the defense at this point. I mean, I think that's more of a sign of trouble ahead than anything else. You talk about a Bears defense that's missing five starters right now: Jaquan Brisker, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Montez Sweat, and Andrew Billings, I think off the top of my head, all did not practice today. So you're going up against a group, you know, that's got, you know, half second teamers, but you know this too. I mean, the defense has seen the Bears offense every day for 2.5 weeks. They probably know what's coming. and familiarity, I think, benefits a defense more than it benefits an offense. And in that sense, I think that's what I'm excited to see when the first stringers play a quarter or so on Saturday, is how the Bears defense does against the Bills offense that doesn't know what's coming, and how Caleb Williams does against the Bills defense that doesn't know what's coming.
Ryan Bates apparently got helped off the field at a certain point in the practice today. What's the latest you know on how things sit with him?
He was doing some drills off to the side with the trainer after he came off. So it didn't appear to me to be too particularly serious. And he's a really important piece here, and not just because he and Coleman Shelton are fighting for the starting center spot, but because he's become Nate Davis's backup at guard. Nate Davis has been out for 12 days now. Matt Eberflus said today that he is more week to week than he is day to day. And in Eberflus speak, that means it's going to be a while. And, you know, there's more than a month until the season starts, but I wrote today for the Sun-Times that, you know, it's never too early to be worried. And that is mostly because of the investment that Nate Davis and everybody else on the O-line has to protect. You know, Caleb Williams is the most important part of this franchise starting Saturday when, for the first time, you know, there are dudes chasing him who want to hurt him. And the Bears offensive line is going to be a really, really important part of whether or not he does well. You know, we can sit here and see Keenan Allen. I mean, we know what Keenan Allen can do. We know what DJ Moore can do. We know what Swift can do and what Cole Kmet can do and what Gerald Everett can do. These guys are veterans. These guys don't need to prove squat in the preseason. But the offensive line does. And to me, that's what's been so concerning about the ins and outs injury-wise here. I wouldn't be surprised if Bates played on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if Darnell Wright played on Saturday. He was rotating a little bit the last 2 days with Larry Borum because Wright's a little banged up. And, you know, if you've got those guys and you combine them with Tevin Jenkins and with Braxton Jones, I think you have, you know, a reasonable facsimile of a starting offensive line. And I would feel a lot better about that if all of them were playing Saturday than if maybe one or two of them have to sit out. Nate Davis, I think, remains a big concern. He is somebody who hasn't been a regular practice participant really in the 2 years he's been here. And, the Bears want to get him up and running, and they really like him on Sundays. But on Monday through Saturday, you need to see it. You need to build up that stamina, that callus, that chemistry with the new center who's playing next to you. And you can't do that if you're on the sideline.
And I'm curious about that aspect of it where you get to be there on a regular basis. Do you – because I can hear Matt Eberflus. I can watch the video of his pressers. I can listen to him, you know, kind of answer the questions you guys pose him about Nate Davis and about starters and losing your time, you know, your job via injury and all these other things. And to me, it seems very straightforward that, yes, if you're not available and someone else steps in and plays well – then it makes perfect sense that individual would continue to have that opportunity. Do you sense frustration, though? Because that's what at least I feel like I'm hearing, I guess, reported or you know, suppositions about the Bears' potential frustration. Like, you know, he had the family member die last year, as you know well, and he, you know, worked through some injury and then missed the remainder of the season, and now he's got the soft tissue thing going on right now. Like, you know, he's played a lot of football in 5 years in the NFL. I don't see a lot on Nate Davis's resume that says he doesn't want to be on the field, but is that a concern that you get the sense maybe the Bears are developing?
I think there was some concern when he played in Tennessee, in just in terms of his practice availability. Those are, you know, you hear things, and you know, that's one of the things we heard when the Bears had signed him. Now, I'm certainly not going to ding him because he had a death in the family and because, you know, he was moving to a new city with some pretty horrible stuff going on in his personal life related to that. Like, boy, that must be really hard. And then, you know, he's got a high ankle sprain in the middle of the season. Boy, that's one of the injuries you don't want to get. Like, that's bad luck and just kind of a bad year. And, you know, I think the hope coming into this year was that that's exactly what it would be. It would just be a bad year, and then we hit reset, and then we could count on him if you're the Bears. And, you know, we asked Matt Eberflus in June, hey, is he the starter? And Eberflus said, well, yeah. Yeah, he's been our starter, yeah. And then, you know, you asked Matt Eberflus the other day, is he the starter? And he gives an answer that essentially evokes Wally Pipp and Lou Gehrig, kind of without saying either of those names. And it makes you wonder. You know, we're still 31 days out from a game. And you can sit there and, I mean, that's a long time. So you can sit there and say that Nate Davis has got plenty of time. But, again, the stakes that are involved with protecting a short quarterback, and as you know, the best way to protect a short quarterback is to have a pretty killer center and two guards. The stakes there are huge. And, you know, just because you're 31 days out doesn't mean that it's not a problem. And it appears to be a problem right now. The Bears publicly say the right things, that they want Nate to come back and do well. And I'm sure in their perfect world, that's what would happen. But I think you begin to wonder, okay, what happens if we're two more weeks down the line here and nothing's changed?
Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The depth of the offensive line had been a concern of mine throughout the offseason. Another big concern was who else can rush the quarterback aside from Montez Sweat. So we got one preseason game down. You got a bunch of practices going on here. Do you feel like that's a question that we're starting to develop any answers to?
Heck yeah, that's a question. I mean, that is the question. I think on draft night, I think the Saturday of draft night, that's the column I wrote, which was, okay, who's going to rush the passer now? I don't think it's any closer to being answered, you know, right now. You know, you've got Austin Booker, who's a fifth-round pick out of Kansas. He played 500 college snaps, which is to say not a lot of college snaps. And he's this really unorthodox rusher in that he kind of takes what you give him. You know, he doesn't line up and say, this is the move I'm going to use to beat you. He kind of gets engaged and can tell pretty quick what the other guy's trying to do, then has a series of counters on that. That's a really cool skill to have if it works. And the Bears are really intrigued by that. But again, you can't go into the season counting on anything from him. You just can't. And, you know, and you look at DeMarcus Walker, you always hear him at training camp. He's the loudest guy on the team. And he really is a difference maker in terms of energy and enthusiasm, and I think he's going to be a really important part of what they do. But on obvious passing downs, he can play defensive tackle. And when he does, you got to put somebody else out there on end in his place. And I'm not sure the Bears have a guy on their roster right now that I would like to have out there in a perfect world. And then you get into the issue of depth. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the offensive line depth being a, you know, a piece of concern. I think the edge rush depth for the Bears is there too, because, you know, once we start playing games in which, you know, tackles are made and runners are taken to the ground, it's going to be even, you know, attrition's going to be even more than it's been. And, you know, we looked over today and there were 15 guys, you know, riding bikes and doing drills or doing stretching and all the injury stuff. And so I think that's only going to build up as they play preseason games. And boy, you need to have, to quote Eberflus, you need a pair and a spare kind of at every position there on the line. And I'm not sure the Bears have a pair, much less the spare.
It was fun the other night to hear your voice on Hard Knocks, you know, asking the hard questions of the Bears brass. What did you make of the opening episode of the season?
I don't think I'd ever watched a Hard Knocks that didn't have a curse word in it. Have you?
No, I can't say that I have, no.
I think it's pretty clean, and I think that's the result of The Bears being careful in how they approve what goes on the show. You heard Matt Eberflus today talk about Ted Cruz, their new PR guy. And not that Ted Cruz, I want to be clear. Different
right.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, good clarification.
PR guy. Yes, he was doing a lot of the editing, or at least the conversation with Hard Knocks about what they wanted to see, what they didn't want to see. I thought it was a pretty good show. And I'll tell you this, they don't make the show for me. I'm at practice every day. I follow football. They make the show for everybody. And I'll tell you, my wife liked it. My 9-year-old liked it. My mom, who is much older than my wife and my 9-year-old, also liked it. And I think that there is a mass appeal to that documentary series, and in particular to introducing the world to the Bears, that I think really resonated with some people. Now, I'll be curious to see, do they get into, you know, Mongo and Devin in the Hall of Fame? Do they get into, I mean, they didn't mention Caleb or his contract, or Rome Odunze and his contract coming into camp. That didn't come up the other day. There are some issues with the Bears that I think we all expect to come up, will come up during training camp. And, I guess the question is, are they going to show kind of the rose or the rose or orange tinted lens version of that? Or are they going to show it for what it is? And, I think you saw it was pretty heavily edited the other day. I'll tell you this. One thing the Bears didn't edit is Theo Benedict dropping his pants. And I can only imagine how that conversation must have gone in the upper levels of Hallis Hall. Do we leave this in or not? I thought it was funny. And I'll tell you this, and I know I'm rambling a little bit, but Caleb butchering John Legend
right.
was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think a locker room that sees him struggle with something, I think that's good for the locker room. I think them wadding up pieces of paper and throwing them at him is good for him and good for kind of the team. And the guy who just told you what his signing bonus was and then being unable to sing a song, I like the dichotomy of that. And I think it only made him seem a little more human, a little more ordinary. Or an ordinary person, if you will.
Just treating him like anybody else in the locker room, as should be the case. He should just be one of the guys. He's not, maybe 5 years from now, he'll be running the entire league. He'll be hiring people and firing people all over the organization. But for right now, he's a dude trying to figure out life in the NFL and getting to know his teammates. And I agree. I thought that was a great moment that they showed there. Well, Patrick, as always, appreciate your time, man. Spectacular stuff. And looking forward to your continued coverage throughout this this preseason here, especially with the starters playing on Saturday. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Real football, kind of, maybe, coming up on Saturday. It'll be good.
That is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times on social, at Patrick Finley. He'll be out there. Well, he'll be in Buffalo. He won't be in Soldier Field yet. But, yeah, he'll be out there checking out everything that happens with the Bears throughout the remaining games in this preseason. A lot of folks spoke today. A lot of folks had reactions, some of them about Hard Knocks, but for the most part, a lot of stuff about Caleb, the offense, you name it. We'll let you hear from some of those folks who had to address the Bears' assembled media. We'll do that next on The Score.
Human nature is to be average. It's to survive. It's not to win a championship. It's not to be the best you can be. It's none of those things. And we think as coaches that just because a guy's a good athlete, he wants all that.
Yes.
Now, every now and then you get a guy who's got all the right stuff, who's a great leader, who does everything right. I mean, you were that way as a player. But there's not very many guys like that. You got to make them that way.
We're back live with more Anthony Herrick on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The voice of one of the GOATs, Nick Saban, probably the college football GOAT. Maybe not too much doubt about that. Then you can have the discussion about, all right, Bill Belichick, NFL GOAT. Saban, essentially a Belichick disciple. Flus, a Saban disciple. So, ipso facto, Flus is going to be greatest Bears coach of all time. Who knows? We'll see. A lot of training camp left to work on figuring that out. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Being recruited by Nick Saban, it's been, what, It's been over a quarter century at this point. It was in the mid-90s. I'm at Bolingbroke High School. He's at Michigan State. And that was what the final couple of choices came down to, trying to decide between Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Saban's at Michigan State. And really, the final two choices came down to Iowa and Michigan State. He was the same dude back then, talking the same way, talking process and everything else. But I did thoroughly enjoy that segment of the show. I liked the entire episode of Hard Knocks, but it was a good point, good observation that Pat Finley made when he was on with us a few moments ago here. It's a subjective thing for the beat writers who are up there at Hallis Hall every day, and for those of us who sit here paying close attention to the Bears every day and talking about them on TV and radio constantly, you know, we're not going to watch Hard Knocks and learn a bunch of new stuff. But Hard Knocks, it's not for us. It's not for the people who are ingrained in the Bears on a regular basis. It is broadcasting, not narrowcasting. So, yes, if you wanted more than Nick Saban, I get it. If you wanted more of Simone Biles, I've heard all these different things in the couple of days since Hard Knocks was on. There were folks who wanted more of Owens and Biles, folks who wanted more of Saban, folks who wanted more of Caleb, folks who wanted more conflict. That's all a part of it. And it's a good thing, because a lot of folks wanted more, and you're going to get more. There's another handful of episodes on the way here. And because the football world seems to continue to want more and more of Caleb, then whenever Caleb's teammates get an opportunity to get up and address the media, they are usually asked about the Bears' rookie quarterback, the number one overall pick in this last NFL draft. And a guy in Mercedes Lewis, who's been around the block in the NFL for a number of years at this point, one of the things that he was asked when he addressed the media today was specifically about Caleb's attitude and how he sees that sort of meshing with himself and others on the team.
All right, what has impressed you about how Williams has navigated the struggles, but also grown into that leader?
I think it's his attitude. He's definitely my type of guy. He's like, he wants to be great. He asks the right questions. He's a guy that can kind of navigate through the tight spots of, like, being able to have real conversations with the older guys and then, like, really float in that space with the younger guys that are around him. And he's a special kid, and I feel like as long as he keeps that about him, he's not going to have any issues. It's his mindset that'll get him through these things that we're going through in camp, and being able to just roll with the punches. And he's shown that. You know, he doesn't lack confidence. And so, you know, it's been really impressive.
And one of the things that I think Hard Knocks give folks a bit of a glimpse into is who's around Caleb, how Caleb is being communicated with, how Caleb communicates with those around him as well. Because there's so much talk that sort of led into Caleb becoming the Bears quarterback about his brashness and about some of the periphery things and, you know, whether or not he is fully invested in football. Is he more about his image and all this other stuff? And we're getting more and more of an idea of an understanding of how invested he truly seems to be and his learning process. That's one thing Mercedes Lewis was asked about, and he talked about the fact that Caleb's a guy who's willing to listen.
Do vets have to fight the urge at times, like if you see something that maybe he doesn't recognize, Caleb doesn't recognize right away, to not correct him in that moment and let him kind of like go through it until he figures it out?
That's a good question. I think maybe a mixture of both on both ends. But I was just saying, he'll come find you on the sideline and be like, yo, big dog, what'd you see there? Or Cole, what'd you see? Or DJ, how do you think we could have ran that route or made this better? Like, he wants it. You know, he's not a guy that's like, oh, throw a pass, go back, on to the next one. Like, it's more so like, you know, after a certain period, it's like, okay, how can we get better going into the next period? And you keep doing that, you stack those up, you know, you'd be a good player by the end of it. He's, like I said, I'm pretty sure I speak for the whole team. He's impressive, and he's a guy that listens more than he speaks. So he's learning at a really fast rate, and all the praises from me.
That's seemingly a really good quality to have, and high praise from a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who's been around some of the best to do it and has done it at a really high level himself for quite a long time. Let's transition here. White Sox made some news today, some news that had been anticipated for quite some time. Let's spend at least a portion of the second hour talking about the breaking news that came out of the South Side early today, and we will do it with a man who knows this squad well. I'm Anthony Heron. Hour number two on the way on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Human nature is to be average. It's to survive. It's not to win a championship. It's not to be the best you can be. It's none of those things. And we think as coaches that just because a guy's a good athlete, he wants all that.
Yes.
Now, every now and then you get a guy who's got all the right stuff, who's a great leader, who does everything right. I mean, you were that way as a player. But there's not very many guys like that. You got to make them that way.
We're back. Live with more Anthony Herrick on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The voice of one of the GOATs, Nick Saban, probably the college football GOAT. Maybe not too much doubt about that, but you can have the discussion about it. All right, Bill Belichick, NFL GOAT. Saban, essentially a Belichick disciple. Flus, a Saban disciple. So ipso facto, Flus is going to be greatest Bears coach of all time? Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. A lot of training camp left to work on figuring that out. The Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Being recruited by Nick Saban, it's been over a quarter century at this point. It's in the mid-90s. I'm at Bolingbrook High School. He's at Michigan State. And that was what the final couple of choices came down to, trying to decide between Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Saban's at Michigan State. And really, the final two choices came down to Iowa and Michigan State. He was the same dude back then, talking the same way, talking process and everything else. But I did thoroughly enjoy that segment of the show. I liked the entire episode of Hard Knocks, but it was a good point, good observation that Pat Finley made when he was on with us a few moments ago here. It's a subjective thing for the beat writers who are up there at Hallis Hall every day. And for those of us who sit here paying close attention to the Bears every day and talking about them on TV and radio constantly, you know, we're not going to watch Hard Knocks and learn a bunch of new stuff. But Hard Knocks, it's not for us. It's not for the people who are ingrained in the Bears on a regular basis. It is broadcasting, not narrowcasting. So, yes, if you want it more than Nick Saban, I get it. If you want it more of Simone Biles, I've heard all these different things in the couple of days since Hard Knocks was on. There were folks who wanted more of Owens and Biles, folks who wanted more of Saban, folks who wanted more of Caleb, folks who wanted more conflict. That's all a part of it, and it's a good thing. Because a lot of folks wanted more, and you're going to get more. There's another handful of episodes on the way here. And because the football world seems to continue to want more and more of Caleb, then whenever Caleb's teammates get an opportunity to get up and address the media, they are usually asked about the Bears' rookie quarterback, the number one overall pick in this last NFL draft. And a guy in Mercedes Lewis, who's been around the block in the NFL for a number of years at this point, one of the things that he was asked when he addressed the media today was specifically about Caleb's attitude and how he sees that sort of meshing with himself and others on the team.
All right, what has impressed you about how Williams has navigated the struggles but also grown into that leader?
I think it's his attitude. He's definitely my type of guy. He's like, he wants to be great. He asks the right questions. He's a guy that can kind of navigate through the tight spots of like being able to have real conversations with the older guys and then like really float in that space with the younger guys that are around him. And he's a special kid. And I feel like as long as he keeps that about him, he's not going to have any issues. This is mindset that'll get him through these things that we're going through in camp and being able to just roll with the punches. And he's shown that, you know, he doesn't lack confidence. And so, you know, it's been really impressive.
And one of the things that I think Hard Knocks give folks a bit of a glimpse into is who's around Caleb, how Caleb is being communicated with, how Caleb communicates with those around him as well, because there's so much talk that sort of led into Caleb becoming the Bears quarterback about his brashness and about some of the periphery things and, you know, whether or not he is fully invested in football. Is he more about his image and all this other stuff? And we're getting more and more of an idea of an understanding of how invested he truly seems to be and his learning process. That's one thing Mercedes Lewis was asked about, and he talked about the fact that Caleb's a guy who's willing to listen.
Vets have to fight the urge at times, like if you see something that maybe he doesn't recognize, Caleb doesn't recognize right away, to not correct him in that moment and let him kind of like go through it until he figures it out?
That's a good question. I think maybe a mixture of both on both ends, but I was just saying, he'll come find you on the sideline and be like, yo, big dog, what'd you see there? Or Cole, what'd you see? Or DJ, how do you think we could have ran that route or made this better? Like he wants it. You know, he's not a guy that's like, oh, throw a pass, go back on to the next one. Like it's more so like, you know, after a certain period, it's like, okay, how can we get better going into the next period? And you keep doing that, you stack those up, you know, be a good player by the end of it. He's like I said, I'm pretty sure I speak for the whole team. He's impressive, and he's a guy that listens more than he speaks. So he's learning at a really fast rate, and all the praise is from me.
That's seemingly a really good quality to have, and high praise from a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who's been around some of the best to do it and has done it at a really high level himself for quite a long time. Let's transition here. White Sox made some news today, some news that had been anticipated for quite some time. Let's spend at least a portion of the second hour talking about the breaking news that came out of the South Side early today, and we will do it with a man who knows this squad well. I'm Anthony Herron. Hour number two on the way on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.